A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Comfort, give comfort to my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her service is at an end. Her guilt is expiated. Indeed, she has received from the hand of the Lord double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The rugged land shall be made a plain, the rough country a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. No one paints the pictures of the Messiah's coming quite the way that Isaiah does. His words are the poetry of the Advent season, the images that most define this time of waiting. Think about it. A people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. A young woman shall be with child and shall call him Emmanuel. A shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. Today's passage is one of the most beloved. A voice cries out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. I wonder if we also read it as one of the most challenging. The prickly nature of this prophecy was made clear to me a few weeks ago when reflecting on it with a group of elementary age children in the religious education program I work with on Sunday mornings. Having grown up on a steady dose of the popular kids' TV show Bob the Builder, they spoke with the expertise of a construction crew about what it means to build a highway. Highways are built when you need to go fast, they reminded me. This is why they need to be level. When they're level, you can see the sun for a very far way in the distance. When you're behind a mountain or in a valley, you cannot see the light very well. Do you think Isaiah is speaking of real land here, I asked them. Are we to prepare a real highway to await God's arrival? No, one replied quite rapidly. The mountains are obstacles that keep us from seeing God. You know, like things that distract us. And the valleys are like problems that we can't seem to get out of. I think he's speaking about the people of the earth, said another. Some people live in valleys, and they will have to be lifted up. And some people live on mountains, and they will have to come down. I thought of the words of the Latin American liberation theologian John Sobrino. The gospel is not good news for everyone, he says. It really is only good news for the poor. In other words, for those who live in valleys. And for those of us who live on mountains, those of us who already have a great view, is it enough to lift up others without making any changes in our own lives? For me, the question has become not so much, how do I live in poverty so that I can be among those lifted up? But how do I live at plain level? In essence, do I live at a level that if all the people of the world lived as I did, the earth could sustain it? Statistics of the last decade show that citizens of the United States, where I live, make up about 3% of the world's population, but use about 48% of the natural resources consumed each year. If there are 7 billion people on the earth, as we discovered just last month, do I use 1/7 billionth of the food available, 1/7 billionth of the fuel available, 1/7 billionth of the space available to build a home? Statistics would indicate I use a great deal more than my share. Living at plain level could mean some real changes in my life, hard changes. Is this prophecy really good news for me? Is it good news for you? I asked the children. And unlike John Sobrino, They answered with a definitive yes. Why? I replied. Because God will be able to come much faster down this kind of road, said one. Another chimed in. Because everyone will get to see the light together. There's much more joy in that way. And Isaiah says, "For the mouth of the Lord has spoken."